May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Not long after Christmas, Margaret called me and said, Are we doing the Transfiguration on February the 11th? And I hesitated. It didn't sound right, and I wasn't sure why. Here's the answer. Today is not the Feast of the Transfiguration. That falls on August the 6th. However, the account of the Transfiguration is always set as the Gospel for the last Sunday in Epiphany, which is today. And it's not hard to understand why. It makes perfect sense to end the season of Epiphany with the story of Jesus shining with a brilliant light. The whole theme of Epiphany is light, that in Christ the light of the world has come. In Mary's words, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The season begins with a light in the heavens guiding the Magi to Bethlehem, and it's fitting to end it with another story of light. But I believe there is something behind Mark's account of the Transfiguration that makes it far more interesting than if it were simply a final reiteration of the theme of light. I think what lies behind his story is a personal epiphany. It's an account of how someone came to believe that Jesus was God. And I think that someone is Peter. In evangelical circles, people are often called upon to give their personal testimony. It's their story of how they came to faith. And the stories are told to encourage others who are seeking. I think the story of the Transfiguration is part of Peter's personal testimony. And he shared it either privately with Mark, or more likely, he shared it as part of his preaching. And Mark was present to hear it. Transfigure is not a verb we commonly use. Its precise meaning is to change in appearance so that it becomes something more exalted. What happened in the Transfiguration is that the man, Jesus, the human that Peter, James, and John were accustomed to seeing, was, for just a few moments, changed into his heavenly, divine self. And they saw not a man, but the Son, the second person of the Trinity. The change that took place at the moment of the Transfiguration was a change from the outward appearance of one who is human to the outward appearance of one who is divine. As a consequence of what happened to him, he shone with the brilliance of God. It was the showing forth to the three closest disciples. It was their epiphany that truly Jesus was the Son of God. And it was all confirmed by the voice they heard from heaven saying, "This is my Son. Hear him." Mark wasn't an eyewitness to the events of Jesus' life. From way back in the first and second centuries, it was attested that Peter was his source. Peter was his eyewitness. I think Mark heard Peter say of his experience on the mountain, "This is why I believe that Jesus is God." What's more, the story of the Transfiguration comes as a dramatic sequence to another of Peter's stepping stones to faith. In the previous chapter of his gospel, Jesus had confronted his disciples with the question, "So who do you say that I am?" And Peter blurted out, "You are the Messiah." I can hear Peter saying to Mark, or perhaps to the group that he's preaching to, "I just blurted it out, because that was when it suddenly dawned on me that that was who he was." All through their history, the Jewish people had longed for their Messiah. Peter had come to realize that he and the other disciples were in his presence. But that was just a stepping stone to faith, and one that fell far short of what happened at the Transfiguration. It had never been suggested that the Messiah was anything more than a uniquely anointed human being. It had never been suggested that the Messiah was God himself. And that's the new truth that unfolded before Peter's eyes on the mountain of the Transfiguration and drove itself into his heart. Christ is the light of the world, the revealer of God, because he is God. It's no wonder that Peter remembered the words that he had said, "Master, it is good that we are here." It's good that we are in the place where it has been revealed to us who you really are. Now we see. The Mount of the Transfiguration sealed Peter's faith. And in that sense, it was a unique experience. But it seems that time and time again, Jesus was teaching his disciples to see the things they had always seen, but in an exalted light. He drew their attention to the poor widow dropping her 2 pennies into the offering and showed them that her sacrificial gift was worth far more in God's eyes than the large gifts that were made by those who could afford to make them. He was surrounded by a crowd of people, all of whom were eager to make his acquaintance. But he called out to a sinner hiding in a tree, Zacchaeus, and announced that he would eat with him that night. exalting a supper invitation into a lesson about God's love for all, even the despised and the outcast. He was working his way along a crowded, narrow street, being jostled on all sides. But he knew when one of the people who had touched his robe had done it desperate for a miracle. And by healing that woman, he exalted the power of faith. The disciples tried to keep noisy children away from him. They said they were not important. But Jesus said, "Let them come to me. For if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like a child." Exalting a childlike faith as the purest faith. He used the simplest things of nature to bring about epiphanies. Mustard seeds, lilies, fig trees, even the weeds that infest the crop. You know, there are times in our life when we look around and we wonder, is this all there is? Sometimes it's just a passing question, and sometimes it's a hollow feeling of dissatisfaction that we find hard to shake. There's a restlessness, a searching, a longing for something more and different. Sometimes we try to rearrange the circumstances of our life to bring about change. We can even do crazy things when we do that. But then we find that really nothing has changed. And we're left with the question, is this all there is? That's because it is not about the circumstances of our life. It's about us. We have been living life superficially. We've been skimming across the surface of life. The answer to the question, is this all there is no. It's not all there is. There is more. But you find it by going deeper. We don't need new things. We need to see the old things with new eyes. We don't need to hear a new voice. We need to hear the old voice with different ears. We don't need to escape the circumstances of our life. We need to fully embrace them and be more present to them. What happened on the Mount of the Transfiguration was as much about Peter as it was about Jesus. Jesus didn't suddenly light up and become something that he had not always been. He had always been God. The voice in the cloud was not a new voice. Every experience that Peter had had since he first encountered Jesus had been crying out to him, "This is my son." Peter simply needed his eyes and his ears opened to what had always been there. And it is the same for us. We need our eyes and our ears opened. And then we will discover the more that we've been searching for. as we leave the season of Epiphany behind. Let's allow this lesson of Peter's personal epiphany to encourage us to look for our epiphanies. Where is God trying to show himself to us? What events in our life have the potential to be transfigured, changed in appearance in a way that exalts them? Where might we find ourselves saying, "Ah, now I see how good that I am here"? Amen.